Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/Vox. ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find the people with the right skills and experiences for your job, and then actively invites them to apply, saving you time and finding you the just right person for the job. To try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/Vox. That's ZipRecruiter.com/VOX. ZipRecruiter.com/Vox. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You are listening to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast.
Swung and lined to deep left field. It is gone! It went deep right. Batista's going to wave goodbye. Start the fireworks show.
This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast, episode 143. I am your host, Matt Lyons, and in this week's episode, the coronavirus brought sports to a halt. That's basically all of our topics now. But there is, we'll talk about things to do without baseball, and there is the Sabre conference went on, and somebody had a really interesting one about that involved the Indians in 2018 and war and new metrics. So that's fun. And of course, we'll take questions. But joining me for all that and more is another Mr. Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how you doing?
You know, Nat Blasio had a 4-year stretch where he hit .383, but his on-base percentage was only .420. Isn't that surprising? Interesting.
So this is what I've been doing the last couple of days.
Isn't that normal back then? They didn't walk a whole lot.
I know, but it's just, you're right. And I just never really.
It's just weird to see it.
To see, like, it's basically batting lines that I put up in MLB The Show. You know, like, I hit 500 and have an on-base percentage sometimes of, like, 498 because I, you know,
yeah. The way. Have you played the new one, by the way? Didn't it just come out?
Is it out yet? I don't know if it's out yet. Is it?
It's been media people or early access or something. But I thought I saw people playing. I know I definitely saw people playing it, but maybe it was just like the early access people.
I made it to the World Series with my Road to the Show guy, and we're playing the Cubs.
There you go.
and I'm like, fuck, no, really?
Is there going to be a rain delay and everything gets ruined?
I don't know. We're tied at 2-2 in the series. And I'm like, oh, no. But the Indians have home field advantage again because we had a 100 and whatever wins. Second Cubs.
That's the way to do it. With your 0.3 ERA or whatever, or
27,000
home runs.
This is my batter. And he's a rookie, so he only has 25 home runs in his first 40 games. So,
what a scrub. He's awful.
Garbage. Trash.
But yeah, the reason you're playing that, the reason several others are playing is because of the coronavirus, which is going around, and it's like crippled everything. Everything has stopped. I think our last... It's such a weird difference between the last time we had a podcast and now. It's like back then it was like sort of here and it was sort of places. And then maybe there are things being delayed, but now it's just everything is shut down. I don't know about where you are, but schools around me are shut down.
Same. I'm teleworking now.
Every
full
single
time,
sports.
So as of tomorrow, yeah, I will be good. Yeah, 2 weeks working from home. So yeah.
Yeah, it's only 2 weeks. Yeah, I guess it is 2 weeks is the most norm for everything. But sports is out for like a month, and including baseball and the Indians, it's at least till April. But there's talk it won't be till at least May, maybe even June. There's talk about like an 81 game schedule and all kind of crazy things. So
really great stuff.
It's a really weird time we're in as far as basically everything.
Everyone's happy about it.
Oh, they're all thrilled.
That's sarcasm, everyone, just so you know.
Yes, nobody's happy about it. Trevor Bauer did have his little wiffle ball game, which seems, I don't know, it maybe not the smartest thing to do when everybody's avoiding crowds, but also they're...
I mean, they'd already been around each other, and I guess if they're quarantined together or whatever, and baseball is the most naturally self-distancing sport there is. My brother and I was going to try and go and play catch with him yesterday, and I was like, well, should we get, like, sanitize the ball, and that way we'll never actually have any interaction with each other because we'll be 40 feet from each other, but, you know.
I think at some point you kind of have to, like, it's a crowd of two is not necessarily going to do it, I guess. Technically, but it's just weird to know like what you can and can't do. Everybody's just staying home basically and hoarding toilet paper, which that's another thing I thought was you were specifically told stay home and don't go out, don't go in crowds, but then everybody hoards in shopping places together to get all this crap.
Dude, the average American must shit 17 times a day. I mean, I'm up to like 4 because I'm bored mostly. But good Lord.
And I saw that somebody bought a ton of hand sanitizer. Now they can't sell it. And that just makes me so happy that you can't sell it.
It's very satisfying.
There's like clamped down on that.
Very, very good stuff. Yeah, the DC government declared I was at a bar watching the Champions League on Wednesday. And then the DC government declared a state of emergency. I was like, well, I guess I'll just stay here for another hour. So, I mean, at this point, I'm fucked one way or the other.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, like, do you remember that night the NBA shut down? And that was because they ran out onto the court because Rudy, what is it? Is it Gobert is his last
name?
Gobert. But he was positive. And, like, that was a singular crazy thing. Like, you'll remember where you were the day the NBA was shut down. And then the next day, everything was just shut down. And it was like, yeah, this is normal. That's what happens. But that difference between the first one and the next, like, seven sports going down, it's weird how that difference is. I guess it's like the whole number versus the statistic thing. Like, if one person gets sick, it's different than hearing that 70,000 are. It's just a statistic at that point. But when it's one league, it seems like a big deal. But when it's baseball, soccer, I think even NASCAR at this point, they're all shut down.
Yeah.
Just sort of accept it.
There was live sports last night on, and it was UFC, and they had a crowd and everything, because Brazil doesn't give a shit, apparently.
Is it Brazilian UFC, or is it UFC in America?
It was UFC 246. It was official UFC, like Dana White's Pride and Joy, but it was just they were having it in Brazil.
It seems like a bad idea.
Well, you know, I mean, Dana White's never been known to have great ideas all the time. He's a great promoter and everything, so he has some good ideas, but...
Basically, since all the closes were announced, I kind of debated, like, when do you start talking about... Because it's a conversation to have, like, when does this impact the Indians on the field? Like, obviously, the first couple of days, it seemed kind of crass to talk about that when the main worry is everybody being safe and healthy. But, I mean, we're a sports podcast, and I think we can talk about it, that losing a month of the season it kind of almost helps the Indians with Mike Clevenger, you know, Aaron Civale, and Carlos Carrasco. They're all injured. And
you know what's funny is, actually, I did a radio spot for Toledo Radio on Wednesday, and I literally talked about just that, and that was on Wednesday. So
that was before everything was shut down, right?
Well, no, it was right after everything shut down. It was the day after. So,
so you didn't care at all. I was like, yeah, I want to know how this impacts
the
Indians.
Well, I mean, I was like, well, I mean, be a little bit selfish. It's a little bit kind of – it is good for the Indians, honestly. Like, they will be able to get healthy. Then that is good. It's a positive. You know, it sucks that – many may die, and we're all being so horribly impacted. My brother is a waiter, so he's going to not have work for the next, you know, 3 weeks or whatever. But within the realm of sports, if you have a bunch of injured players and they weren't going to make them opening day, and all of a sudden opening day is a month later, great, man. Yeah. I mean, this is a team that's paced together and, you know, held together with twine and dreams, basically. And if two players go down, then they're kind of fucked. And one of those two players, you know, I mean, one of those players is Mike Clevenger, and having him healthy for whatever the full quote unquote full season looks like at this point is good news. Then there's no negatives happening, and it's only positive.
Yeah, and Mike Clevenger was in the wiffle ball tournament, by the way.
Yeah.
After having knee surgery, that seemed questionable to do, but he was there, and I think his team lost.
Wiffle ball isn't strenuous. I used to play wiffle ball all the time. It was what we used to do in college. We'd get, you know, kind of get a sweet buzz on, and just there's no running in wiffle ball is the best part, you know.
Yeah,
it's all ghost runners, so it's fine. I agree with you. I watched it for about 20 minutes last night, but yeah, you know, whatever. He's not actually doing anything athletic.
Yeah, that's true. And I think as far as benefiting the Indians, I think they also. They start slow, and then there's also I guess the biggest downside is it's less time of Francisco Lindor. I don't know how the trade deadline is going to be impacted, or service time or whatever, but that's like every day they're not playing is less time of seeing Francisco Lindor.
Very true.
Which is a huge downside. And I think it's worth saying that every player, and I'd imagine every fan, would rather have a full season, even means injured players, than losing a month to a earthwide pandemic. But
without a doubt.
But since it's happening, it's worth noting that it does sort of benefit the Indians the way that plays out, I think. And they do also miss out a bunch of games against like the Twins, or not the Twins, but the Tigers and White Sox and Royals. So potentially, as far as is if the schedule, they just eliminate those games, the Indians lose out a bunch of potentially easy wins. So there's a plus and minus takeaway for
that's kind of yeah. I was trying Indians. To think about that too. Like how does that work out? Like where do you eliminate games? Because obviously travel, you just chop off at one point and go on. Like you can't really.
It's a lot to rearrange at the last second too.
Because I was thinking about this. It was in 2011. When did Derrick Rose get hurt? 2010, 2011. Yeah, 2010, 2011 NBA season. They only played 66 games because of a lockout, and they didn't just chop off. Everything was crammed together. Like one of the complaints from that season was there were so many back to backs and so little rest that things like Dwight Howard hurt his back. It was never the same. Derrick Rose was overplayed and hurt his knee, and he was never the same. Only Iron Man named LeBron James were able to survive it. So they rescheduled the entire season, right? Which means not just moving the games around, but that's also like changing flight plans and schedules within the arenas. Now it's harder in basketball than it is in baseball, because basketball a lot of times you'll share with whether it's an NHL team or you know, like the
the Spurs have that rodeo that comes to town every year and kicks them out for 3 weeks or whatever. Baseball stadiums literally do one thing. So scheduling on that side of things will be a little bit less difficult. But that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, I don't think they're going to – I think it's possible to have a similar kind of unbalanced schedule because, you know, the league likes that. It likes the fact that the division is such a focus of things as it creates more drama and things like that. So I'm wondering if they will actually just reschedule everything and just – and I don't know.
I guess it depends on how many games you have to miss, right? Because if you miss only a couple weeks, maybe you can just ignore it, but if it ends up being – a lot longer. And I think if we get to the point where they're back, like, can you, there's going to be more positive tests among players, I'd assume, if you come back this year. So you have to get to a point where either you're just okay with that or you just cancel the whole season, because there's going to be more positive tests and you can't have this like one test. If you have to have everybody quarantined, then that's the whole league again goes down the first time a player gets a positive test, and then you start from the beginning. So I'd assume you have to get to a point where it's not going to be, the virus itself isn't going to be burned out in a couple months, I don't think. So I guess it just depends on where we are as a world in a couple of weeks, if we actually play baseball or not.
Well, and you know, I'm thinking about even the 1995 season when they only played 144. I don't know what the planning was when it came to that season in terms of.
And 144 is almost as doable as a, you could just trim it to that and have more days off in between. Because what is the one everybody else shoots for? Is it 154? That
154 is the, you know, that was how many they used to do, and then 144 they did. I mean, if you wanted to keep it on, I don't know. I mean, 120, is that a good number? I don't know. That would get you through May, or into May. And realistically, I mean, just looking at time frames of where of elsewhere in the world, like, it's not like it's going to be gone in 2 weeks, and then they'll figure it out from there. So a month and a half, you might be able to figure it out. And then how many games are there in a month? Like 20?
What?
25?
What, in a month?
Yeah,
baseball games
are there in a month.
I think in days, like 25, 26, somewhere in there. 26, because you get like average one a week, maybe one off day.
Yeah, so I mean, you figure you get it down to 130 games, and then you can figure it out from there. But again, what will they just lop it off and start up from wherever it was? I think baseball is uniquely positioned to make it like a condensed season, like it always was, and then we'll have a fun complaint for shortening the season some.
Yeah, and it's hard because you don't know how many they're going to miss. At least with the strike, you knew when it was over, you could schedule it. But right now, you have no idea.
Right, because everything's just kind of up in the air. Like we don't know if there will be any more NBA at all, or NHL, or Premier League Soccer, or, you know, Champions League just been canceled. Same thing that you moved the Euros over in Europe to.
Yeah, XFL's done. XFL's, I think they specifically said they're not going to come back.
It sucks. I was really getting into that. Fuck.
I wasn't, but.
That's because you have bad taste and don't like cool things. That is proven.
Now, without all these sports, Merritt, I figured it'd be a good time. I was telling you before the show, like, at one point, me and Jason, a long time ago, we did it just in the off season when it seemed novel that there's a couple months without just baseball, but there's absolutely nothing now for who knows how long, and you're stuck in your home. So let's just kind of go back and forth with, like, suggestions for things to watch or things to do or play or whatever while you're stuck at home by yourself with no sports to watch. So
I'll go first. Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Because mine, I've already been doing it on Twitter anyway, as I want everybody to watch the Rocket League Championship Series. I think esports in general is in a really good place to fill the hole for people. But if you don't play video games or don't follow them or anything, like, stuff like Overwatch is kind of complicated to understand that it's, like, if you just watch football, soccer, baseball, all that, and then, like, you can't really jump into Overwatch and understand it that well. But Rocket League is just soccer with cars, and they do lots of tricks. If you understand how difficult everything they're doing is, it's easy to just jump in and watch and see how amazing it is. And even, what was it, yesterday, there was a game where one player couldn't connect, and so their coach, who retired like last year, jumped in and played, and he scored the winning goal, and that was really cool. So yeah, they have their own little moments, and it's just a fun league to follow. I think all of esports is, it's a good time to get into an esport now if you can, but Rocket League's probably the easiest one to get into. I saw also, like, the NBA is going to be simulating NBA 2K games, or the Suns are, so that would be a neat thing to do. I think Twitch in general is a good place to go right now if you want to watch live things competing. If you just like watching people compete against other people in one way or another, it's a good time to just go on Twitch and find things to watch. That's my first one.
That's a good one. I mean, you could... I think I just said I'm going to start doing is going on Cameo and finding the cheapest possible people and sending them to friends. Sending them weird messages. Weird,
like Logan Allen for $10?
Even, there's got to be some $5 or $1 people on here. Just finding them and having them send messages like, hey, I'm sorry about your... I don't even know. Just send weird messages. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I'm not that creative, but, you know.
Hey, take your garbage out. You forgot.
Hey.
Just send little reminders and wonder why Gene Shalit is sending himself.
Hey, don't forget to shower. You know, just things like that. I think that'd be a fun way to spend a few bucks. You know, I mean, you won't break the bank or anything like that. And for those of us who are trapped in the house, and it'll be a nice way to reach out to people who maybe not friends, but acquaintances you have that that could use a pick me up, or you know, a nice brutal insult. I think that'd be a great way to factor. You know, $100 a week tops, just on cheap cameos or one expensive cameo.
You could get or four Franmil Reyeses.
Dontrell Willis is $25. So, I mean, if you want the detour, seems
a little much for Dontrell Willis.
I don't know. You know, I can't tell what the scale is on this website anymore.
Well, I mean, Shane Bieber and Dan Otero are the same price. So, I mean, that's we don't know what we're doing here with pricing. Shane Bieber should be like $100.
Yeah, but Santa Claus is $10.
Well, that's not Santa Claus. That's just some guy in a Santa
Claus. It says Santa, and it says Santa Claus. And
is he verified as Santa Claus, Merritt? I don't
think so. I'm pretty sure Cameo has one of the...
Does he have a blue check mark on his name right now?
I don't think that those are things on his website, dude.
Doesn't count then. So whatever.
You get Tomi Alarin to spread some propaganda for you for $80. There you go.
There you go. So my other one.
Go ahead.
Is Tom Cruise actually on there?
Not Tom Cruise.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, so you can look on, if you go on YouTube, you can't find them by like regular searching, but there's a very specific format you can use to find baseball games from like basically any time.
Yeah, it's true.
So what you have to do is find the box score of a game. Like, say it's... I should have found one before I did this. Hold on.
This is great
stuff. I don't remember exactly how far it goes back. It goes back a few years. So I'll, like, go 2012, June 6th. We'll see what game they play. Anyway, so you do, like... if just say it was Indians-Yankees. So you do CLE at NYA for the Yankees because in the American League. And then you do comma, the month, day, comma, year. And then you can find it because I think they're hidden or they're very specifically found. But MLB hosts them also, like legit streams of games. But it's like almost every single game for a certain number of years back. So if you want to watch any game, you don't want to pay for MLB TV to only get the last year, like go ahead and do that. And you can find basically it. You can watch Yubaldo Jimenez pitch for the Indians probably. You can watch watch Corey Kluber be really good for the Indians, which you won't be able to do ever again. You can watch Francisco Lindor debut and fall over in front of Miguel Cabrera again.
And blame him. Blame that villainous Cabrera for tripping him.
And then you can also remember that you can just search for most games for sports. Like, well, I don't know why for a little bit I got into finding old Browns games from like the 90s and 80s.
Yeah, that's psychotic. I don't know why you were doing that at all.
It was a terrible idea, but like, because I've never actually seen the drive, that game. But I've seen, like, obviously I know what the drive is. But it was neat to see the game itself and just imagine how heart-wrenching they must have been for Brown fans at the time. But I wasn't one because I wasn't born. But it was neat. You can find a lot of old sports that are bootlegged on YouTube, which is always fun.
I don't know why, and this isn't just a baseball or even sports problem. It's Netflix has the exact same thing. Netflix has a shitload of stuff you can watch, and you can't find it. I mean, it's just it's not actually findable because their search feature sucks or they don't highlight it. So it just kind of sits way down in the basement somewhere. And they're all like that. Hulu's like that too. You can find some fun, neat movies on there. The HBO Now one is pretty good. You can find a whole lot of stuff in there. So
I think almost YouTube or Netflix might be designed by then, because they were trying to push all their original stuff. It seems like all I get recommended are Netflix originals, but there's also a bunch of old movies that I'd love if they would just show them to me.
Speaking of that, that's one thing I've finally been getting around to doing is watching movies I've been meaning to watch. The last 2 days I watched the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which was delightful. Wonderful. I can't believe I didn't watch it before, but what an easily consumable way to make a movie, too. Six stories, each one about 25, 30 minutes long. Each one beautifully shot and interesting. And, like, even though the sixth story was just basically a stage play. Really, two of them, most of them are kind of stage play. There's that one, All Gold Valley, where it's an old prospector hunting for gold in a valley that looks remarkably like that one in, for those who played Red Dead Redemption 2, up in the upper north. West part of the map, there's that big valley where it's a nice place to shoot deer. Anyway, so I watched that, and I watched Hell or High Water last night, and that was awesome too. So anyway,
I love that movie. That's one of my favorite movies. Nobody ever knows about it, but it's
that movie
so
was really good. Like, it was,
yes.
You didn't like it was
the way they tell the story is so amazing that everything just like slowly unravels towards the end, and it's so good.
And it's just, and there's no real villain. Technically, right. I mean, the older brother kind of a dick. The bank, and that, you know what? That's the thing. The villain is actually just the bank, and it was neat the duality of the pair of them. Like the brothers dress the same, but so do the the two Texas Rangers, and it was just, it was well shot and, I don't know, well acted and good and fun. And but yeah, it's just, that's why I'm a little irritated by, I'm dual irritated, actually. I'm irritated by the fact that there's not more stuff on these various, like old movies and things like that. Like, there's documentaries I want to watch, right? Like, there's this one called The War Room. It's about the 1992 Clinton campaign. That's supposed to be like a landmark. When I want to watch The Salesman, which is a documentary from the 1970s. And they're not anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, it just sucks that the fact that everything can be digital, but you can't get it very easily. Like, even on demand, like, it's hard to find. And then even when it is easy to find, it's not easy to find on things like Netflix and things like that.
I did find out that if you go to, I don't know if it works actually online, but the Google Play Movies app, if you can go on there and connect what services you have, or you don't have to connect, you just have to say you have it. And then when you do, it'll show up when you're searching for the movie. Like if you search for Star Wars or something, it'll actually just show it on Disney Plus instead of a price. I thought that was really good. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have like everything on there. So
that's what I wanted, some way to search, you know, every service simultaneously, because I know somewhere out there is the movie I want to watch. I just don't know how to find it.
There's a website for it somewhere. I just don't
know. And like having to go to Netflix and then Hulu and then the, you know, whatever, Amazon, and then eventually going to the on-demand site on my cable. Anyway, watching movies, a great way to pass the time when you're trapped inside. And good ones, bad ones, who cares? Just watch them, baby.
And then the last quick one I have, and then if you have another one you can, and then we'll go on to actual baseball things again. But so there's a guy, I watch more YouTube than I probably should, just random things, but there's a guy named Lazy Game Reviews who restores old computers, which is really, I don't know if it's quite ASMR, but it's very zen and good background noise. But he just like, I guess he goes like thrift stores or people send him stuff and he just restores it and sets it up. And then he has these big mechanical keyboards, like the Model M and stuff. It's so cool to watch and listen to because he just like cleans the computer, sets them all up, does the DOS setup and everything. But I'm getting about as niche as you possibly can here, baseball fans who also like restoring old computers. But if you happen to, I think it goes by LGR Lazy Game Reviews on YouTube is a good one to binge watch him restoring things or finding old games to play and stuff. It's kind of neat.
Well, we can stay on the YouTube side of things, and if you want to watch what I don't know. So there's this channel. The maker is Do Not Eat, DonotEat01, and he does he plays City Skylines, but he talks about it. Talks about how the architecture of a city can be painful to like the working class and things like that, and how like things like parking. Has an impact on how parking impacts people or how highways can impact neighborhoods and things like that. He has this whole series called Well, There's Your Problem and talks about massive collapses of bridges and things like that and how it happened. No, it's great. It's a lot of fun. He talks about how cities are grown and created and how the marginalized become increasingly marginalized within those cities based on the architecture of the city and how they kind of plan to level places, and you know they label things as slums when really it's just a, you know, place where working class or poor people live.
Great. Is this all through City Skylines?
Yeah, he does it all. Yeah, it's all. Yeah, he just does the whole thing like within City Skylines. Like he'll tell a story about how like, you know, he has a wonderful voice. He kind of sounds like this, but it's, I don't know. It's very good. But like he'll tell a story of like how the city, you know, the city wanted to plan a highway through here, and just telling about the impact that putting that highway through that certain stretch of the city can have 50 years down the line. It struck a chord for me because where I grew up, there's a nearby a city called Waterbury, and they put in this north-south highway, and they basically just put it right through the middle of this vibrant ethnic neighborhood, this big Italian area of town, and just cut it right in half, and it just gutted the place. Like, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal to have to walk under a bridge to get the other side of this thing, but like between all the houses that had to get knocked down, the visual element and the feel of having to go underneath that highway, it destroys property values and things like that. And so just, it struck a chord for me, but he does it all through City Skylines as the backdrop. And it's very neat. Do Not Eat is his thing. And he's, like I said, he's got a podcast called Well, There's Your Problem, which is very good and talks about the failures of lack of regulation or people chasing a dollar at the expense of often people's lives. And it's good stuff. All very leftist critique of of things is what it is, basically.
Yeah, but through a video game, and that's cool too. I guess it's sort of related to things to do because I've been watching Saber streamed their The Saber Combo. I don't. Do they always do that? Or just
no? This is the first time. Yeah, it's the first.
Okay, it's really cool. Like, yeah. Brian Kenny was the. I don't know if he was quite the MC, but he was the lead off speaker. As a way to put it, but there was a lot of good things. It's like it's so far up to like 18 hours or more of content and streaming live again. So, as far as finding something to do to kill the time, you got a lot there. But one of them that caught my eye especially was someone named Russell Isom, who writes at Bat Flips and Nerds. He presented at Saber. He had this. So he was looking. He's an Indians fan, and in 2018. He was looking, as I think most of us were, that the Indians were so good in the regular season and then flopped so hard in the playoffs because they had two top five batters and four top 10 pitchers. So what he basically did was he developed a stat. It's sort of like a sub stat, I guess you could call it, because it goes into WAR to adjust it. But it was strength of players faced. Basically took the WOBA of the players you faced into the season and averaged them out. So you would come to what it sounds like the strength of who you faced and to adjust that for WAR. And so obviously what happened when he applied to the Indians is in 2018 is a lot of them showed up as they had a lot of easy competition. Like he had, the exact way of calculating it is he would take the average end of season WOBA of all the players they had faced for the season to give them an output for that player. For example, if a batter had 10 plate appearances against a WOBA pitcher with 300 WOBA against and 10 plate appearances against a 330 WOBA pitcher, his strength against would be 315. So it's just an average of who they all faced. And as far as the leaderboard of who had the highest for a batter, which means you faced easier competition, trying to word that out in my head, but it was Roberto Perez had the highest, and then Greg Allen, Yonder Alonso was in there, Jason Kipnis, Michael Brantley, Jose Ramirez. So it was very clear that the Indians had a lot of players in there. Even after it took it out to account for pitchers, batters in the NL, it was still a lot of Indians. It was still Brantley, Alonso, Kipnis, Roberto, Allen. So, and then he had applied that to WAR, and of course, a lot of players went down. Francisco Lindor lost quite a bit of WAR off his. I can't find the exact number, but it was just kind of neat to see the way he did it and the way it kind of reinforces what we all thought, that the 2018 Indians had benefited a lot from an easy schedule and then got destroyed by the Astros, who probably were cheating at the time, but it still happened.
Didn't help. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it was a neat stat. He also did in his presentation, he went back even further. He has a blog post that is only 2018, but he eventually went back for historical data, which is also neat to look at. And there's a lot of stuff about how baseball is changing with the shift of having so many has-beens and, have and have-nots, how split the league is. That's shifting how this stat in particular is evaluating players, because a lot of players face so many bad pitchers like the Indians, and then a lot of places they're stuck facing like the great teams like the Astros and the Yankees. And it was really neat. It's about like, what is it, 25 or so minutes into the day two of Saber. I can link to it directly, but it was a neat thing to watch. And if you're looking for something to watch, you can watch the Saber streams and catch Russell Isom talking about the Indians, which is neat.
No, I kind of thought that was kind of already built in. I guess it's not quite.
No, it's not.
Well, because like it's weighted on base average, but I guess I always kind of thought that kind of like with OPS plus WRC plus it's kind of a, but that's more of a, I guess that's more
it kind of like implicitly evens out, but it's not strictly saying.
But that factors in park factors and things like that too. But I just kind of figured that some level of strength of competition was factored in. But I have to say that it was in watching that I was like, oh, okay, so all those quiet worries I had were real and true and good. Okay, so
isn't that good reassurance to get in these times of panic that everything you're afraid of is real?
I still feel miserable thinking about that. Literally a series I didn't get to watch a single game of because they were all starting at like 2 p.m. on a weekday, and the Indians just got bludgeoned to death. So by the time I got out of work, like it was already 17-1 or whatever the hell the final scores of those games was.
I felt like that.
It was awful. Just tremendously bad, and just having a team cheat well at the same time you've been playing way over your head all year. Yeah, no, that was it makes one wonder, is Francisco Lindor really a top five hitter? I think he is, but who am I to say this? Is Corey Kluber really that great, or were those late season surges when he won a Cy Young because he got to face trash, garbage, and filth most days? Who's to say? Who's to say? Yeah. Really? I mean, we always go back to the idea of, well, they're still major league hitters. But as he pointed out, and as we've noticed, and, you know, every year it's going to get more and more have and have notty, there is definitely a stratification in what a major league hitter really is. Alex Bregman and, I don't know, let me just pull up a random name here. Lewis Brinson, yeah, that's a good one. Lewis Brinson are not quite the same caliber of hitter
You know, Garrett Cooper and Pete Alonso aren't going to stand. You know, they aren't really going toe to toe, and they're definitely going to have a bad time compared to. Well, one will have a worse time compared to the other one. Boy, the Marlins were really bad last year. Jesus Christ!
Yeah, the year before.
They're generally pretty bad. So, yeah, and I guess that's what happens. I mean. You know, it's just the idea of the quote unquote major league hitter is false in many ways, and you just wonder what this does. And who I don't really care about stats, but again, it's just results and things like what happened to the Indians in 2018, and then I don't know. We always talk about how. You know, until we're blue in the face, and we think it's stupid. Like, it's not that big of a deal to be on the Yankees as opposed to being on the Astros or whatever in terms of competition. But really, it is. I mean, you're facing minimum two other playoff caliber teams, if not World Series caliber teams, and that definitely has an impact in any number of ways, whether it's statistically or just in actual quality of player.
Yeah. And it's neat that for the longest time, the point of advanced stats were to take out context and just get straight down to player skill, but eventually you drill so far down that you need context again.
Yeah,
you got to get back to the fact that you can measure how good these players are against better players, and it does make a difference compared to pretending they're throwing against a robot.
How do I want to put this? It's like finding a way to quantify the eye test, if that makes sense. You know, where you're like,
yeah, that's good. Yeah,
Like you're watching a guy, you know, you're watching Corey Kluber pitch every day, and you're like, well, yeah, but he's been pitching against, you know, shit for years now. Like, I don't know. Again, I'm gonna pull up a couple of players that he pitches against. He pitches against a lot. You know, he's facing people like bad Alex Gordon or Ryan O'Hearn a lot. You know, like these are players that are not exactly the finest of quality as far as MVP caliber hitters goes, and it's just you wonder. If what you're seeing is actually true or not. So this allows us to actually say, nope, it's not. It's fake. It's all fake. And this is, he doesn't deserve any of these Cy Youngs. Corey Kluber's actually bad secretly. Thank God they got rid of him now. Ooh, good move, guys.
We can just cling to that forever. But yeah, if you're looking for something to watch, there's a ton of them to watch. I guess obviously if you don't like this stuff, don't watch it. But if you're even mildly interested in like advanced stats or measuring baseball, it's cool to see this.
It's dry. Well, I'll say that much.
Oh,
it's
yeah. These are like the smartest baseball people, and they're great at math and computers, but their live stream flickers. It bounces up and down the whole time, and it drives me nuts.
The charisma levels are not the highest. You know, these aren't exactly the people who are going to be on MLB Network. They're the ones who are
doing the work for the people that are going to be on
MLB Network. Yeah, they're in the back office in the nerdery doing all the number crunching.
But those are my people, Merritt. I shouldn't be on MLB Network. I shouldn't be doing a podcast. I should be doing the nerdery stuff.
I should be doing the podcast stuff because I get bored.
Yeah, it's something else for you to do, and something neat that happened that referenced the Indians. So every Sunday, I ask you guys for questions on Twitter, Facebook, and Let's Go Tribe. Got a few this week. Obviously, there's no baseball to ask about, so we got some thought-changing ones, maybe. I don't know how to describe it. But our first one, at Dreaming Baseball, he wants to know if you had to pick three players on Indians' current 40-man roster to lead your zombie apocalypse survival team, which three would you choose?
Huh. That's a very good question.
I mean, Franmil Reyes, we can just stop there.
Oh, come on. That's
you got to just give him a weapon, tell him to go in. He's good.
I was going to actually, my first pick was going to be Roberto Perez. He's cerebral. He wears armor. So
he does have the armor buff that only catchers have.
So him, probably. Shane Bieber would be the leader type that I would get. He's calm, collected, focused. He can throw a
he's calm, collected, he can throw a damn bullet.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I think that's a good trio right there. I would go with Reyes, Bieber and Perez. That's a nice it gives me a sense of a good like D&D can. You have your D&D group, you have your tank, you have your caster, and you have a long range guy, so it's perfect.
That's actually a really good point. Yeah, you went more of the I didn't think about leadership roles or anything like that. I was just thinking toolsiness. So I was going Franmil Reyes,
toolsy
as a big
buddy.
Guy.
The Indians got that in spades. All right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got Franmil Reyes and then Delino DeShields as your like guy that needs to run in and get stuff, and then I mean some pitcher, I would guess. Maybe Class A because he can throw a million miles an hour. Like,
yeah,
you never know
when
you need to throw something far.
Too much movement on his pitches. That's why you want Bieber, not a lot of movement.
But you got to be able to throw hard. I mean, he can throw hard enough, but Maybe Clevenger. Clevenger would just be nuts in the postal apocalypse.
I mean, I what's 2 miles an hour at that point? It's going to cave in true, a zombie yeah. skull. Come on now.
Or throw in supplies, whatever. Maybe Hunter Wood just because he's wet. I don't know. That's going to help him at some point, I would assume.
You know what? Yes, I'd want him because I want him on my team. Because otherwise, he's going to be the villain. Although he'd probably double cross you. He's way too damn to be trusted.
He definitely is a double crosser. But yeah. Mine, I think, would be Class A. Just Shields and Reyes.
I mean, I would dump the Shields and I'd go with Bradley Zimmer instead because he's taller, so he can get stuff on the high shelves. And he's just as fast. True. And he can step over, you know, say there's some tumbled over rubble, easier to get over it because he's mostly leg. See, you gotta really think these things through, man. What are we dealing with?
I'm picturing this and I just see Waluigi just like going over stuff. I can't see Bradley Zimmer anymore.
And it seems like a very valuable skill, right? It's perfect.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good choice. Either or. Because, yeah, you're right. He is basically just as fast. There's no walls for him to run into, mm-hmm. theoretically. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, thank you for that question. That's a fun one when there's literally nothing else to talk about. Our next one, at Ethan Witt, who writes for... Actually, I think he runs The Good Fight, the Phillies blog. Boom. He asks, what does former Philly Cesar Hernandez have to do this year to earn another contract? I don't know if there's anything. I think he's just a stopgap to Nolan Jones, and then we'll find another one next year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance of him being on the Indians.
Yeah, Jones isn't ready for some reason, they'll just find somebody else who's cheaper.
This is the primo Indian signing. This is everything we always dreamed of. I mean, that's not true, but it's everything we always expect whenever it's the offseason in Cleveland is signing a top 10 second baseman. That's what we expected, right? Oh, wait. No.
He is. It's true. It's a fact.
By math. Math speaks these things into existence, and only through math will we be saved.
Yeah.
So yeah, nothing. I mean, unless he's like he suddenly learns how to hit like vintage Chase Utley and says, "No, I don't actually like money. You can pay me in peanuts, and also I'm gonna live in the stadium." Like,
unless they trade Nolan Jones.
And also they trade Nolan Jones. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's basically it. Is if he demands less money and also hits real good.
He just loves Cleveland so much, he just wants
to be can't take nothing. Any more money out of this beautiful economy. Give this to the people.
He's on like one of those shows where people fall in love with inanimate objects, but it's Progressive Field. He just doesn't want to leave it.
Yeah, he's
like
just
the one who loves a... Somebody loved a roller coaster, I think, one time. That was a fun one.
Who doesn't?
Anyway. So thank you for that one. Our next... We'll finish up with this one for the last question of the show. At Richard K. Bach, he wants to know, how important is it that lefty hitters practice bunting to defeat the shift? How could a decent bunter hit against a shift? 500, 600, I think higher. Why aren't they especially off lead off an inning? I think it's been talked about before, I don't think by us, but it's a huge misconception that you can just bunt and then it works every time.
Bunting
like you're giving up your chance to hit no matter what. And at best you get on first, at worst you pop it up or it doesn't go far enough and
we have to remember that the ball is moving.
Yeah, it's still out there. It's not any easier.
Well, even the one coming in at you, you know, the pitch is moving even as it comes. And I don't mean
that's what I mean. Yeah,
in a you know vector towards you. It could be curving. It could be sliding. It could be splitting. Changing up. It could be splitting or screwing.
Could be ephusing.
It could be
be screwing.
Yeah, it could be doing any of these things. Fasting, cutting. Two seaming, sinking.
I wonder if you get injured more if everybody just started bunting like crazy, would there be more guys getting hit in the face with like, remember what happened to AJ Burnett in practice that one time? Yes. Like if you increase the number of bunts exponentially, eventually people got to get dinged in the face, right? It's going to happen. See, bunting kills, Merritt, is what I'm saying. Don't bunt. Maybe you could hit 500, 600, but nobody would care. You just get a bunch of singles and then you're out two outs later anyway.
To be fair, If you guys had a guy who only ever hit singles but he hit 500, he'd be the MVP. I mean, he'd be the best player in the world. If he never walked and he only hit 500, you're still talking about 1,000 OPS.
Yeah.
And he's on base twice a game. That's incredibly valuable. My God.
But even then, it's different than bunting, though. Because then if you're bunting, you're still going to get the guy out in second almost every time. Well, no, I guess the point is they would be over because the shift is there. But maybe.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean.
But you just can't bunt 500, I don't think. Even if you.
No, it's utterly impossible. These are some of the. Yes, it's baseball, and they wear baggy clothes. We don't think of them as much of an athlete as an NBA player, but these guys are supreme athletes. And I guess it's against the shift, so maybe no. It's just very hard. If we could do it that easily, why don't they just hit it that way? You know,
right? Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. People always say just hit it. You know, just go opposite field with it. Just you know, just do that. I mean, I would almost feel like I almost feel like telling a player to do that would be easier than telling them to bunt it that way every time. And we saw that happen with Jose Ramirez this past year,
where he stopped trying to pull the ball, and he was terrible. He was truly horrendous. And I think that's a perfect case of someone trying to change how they approach the ball. I don't know. I understand where the guys where the question asker is coming from. I hope he realizes how this is naturally an anti-bunting space. We just
this is not a safe space for bunting, Mary.
No, no, of all the things we hate, bunting is probably it's up there. We're sick of it. If you can hit the ball 175,000 feet, you should try to every single time. If you can only hit it 90, well, not 90 feet. If you can hit it 140 feet, you should probably do that instead, because chances are it'll fall on the ground and then it'll squirt to the wall, and then you have two bases, or even three, or an inside the park home run, and that sounds great.
Yeah,
those are my feelings.
Yeah, that's basically where I am too. So thank you for the question. I think hopefully we explained it well enough that you just don't do that. I think if you could, people would do it. If they thought you could bunt 600 all the time, it'd be done. But
I hope we weren't too mean.
I don't think we were mean. I mean, you were, but I don't think
that's true.
You're just the meanest anyway. But yeah, that's going to be our show for this week. If you,
I'm not that mean.
Well, the meanest. But if you listen this far, leave us a review on, I almost said Facebook, but on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen. And we're going to be here, I think. I don't plan on going anywhere. We're going to get weird after a while if there's no baseball, but we both collect baseball cards, so we'll talk about those.
I got a couple packs open.
We'll open them in full audio, no video. We'll just talk about them.
Just talk about the cards. We'll describe it like this one right here. I'm holding in my hand an Andy Allenson card, a person who actually played for the Indians in 1989 and who hit 263 in 1988 as a catcher, scored 44 runs. This might be a typo, because I'm pretty sure he didn't have 1,214 hits. Well, hey, a typo. I don't think he's 1,200 hits. See, the car's
worth $40,000 now.
Holy shit. What if it's worth something? Get out of here, Pharaoh. My cat's trying to eat it now. Interesting. Well, 1,200 hits and only 11 doubles and no home runs. Five home runs. This is the guy. This is the guy who bunted every time. Interesting.
He exists. Several years ago. Oh, but yeah, there's a preview of your future. We're going to get weird, because there's not going to be baseball, but we'll still be here. So.
But yeah, we need to talk anyway.
Yeah. So talk to you next week, mate.
Yeah, I'll be here.